today, in terms of Passover, today would be Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And so hopefully I can make it. What we're going to do is today we'll look at that, all with joy and everything for him coming in, and then probably 4 days later they all yell crucify him. So we've talked about it, but I want to show you what the scripture is, okay? So first of all, let's go to see a prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9. Gary, my sense of order says that, would you please put that bag under the on the chair down here or something? Because I can't see.
I'm covering up this.
Everybody there? Zechariah? Zechariah 9. Just one verse. That's verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon the ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Now, and then it goes on and talks about the destruction of it. Around the countries around Israel, which they did, but didn't do them any good. So now let's go to Luke. Let's try to stay in Luke to see them all. But Luke chapter 19. Start at verse 28. When he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he was there, when he was come nigh to Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go you into the village over against, this is all before he's entering Jerusalem. Go you into the village over against you, and this is either Bethpage or Bethany, and more than likely it's Bethany. And the place he's going to get the colt of the ass is from Mark's parents. Okay, let's see if we, go you into the village over against you, in the which you, at your entering, you shall find a colt tied whereon you have never sat. You shall find a colt tied whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. Now just think of that. He was stealing a colt or a
And
it had to be somebody that was aware of him. Otherwise, they obviously, or they could have. I mean, anything could have happened. But I believe it was at the place where it was an estate, because Mark's parents were wealthy. He was only 8 years old now. So everything is starting to whirl around in this compound that was Mark's home, and that's where he got the cult of the ass. But now something happened therein where Mark's father, without anybody asking him to, that we know of, he prepared the place for the Passover in the upper room. Remember, all the homes in Jerusalem had what are called upper homes, because Jerusalem was built as a city for visitors, and they didn't have hotels, so each person in Jerusalem had an empty room or maybe more than one room at the top on their houses, and that's where the pilgrims stayed when they came in from Jerusalem, to Jerusalem for the feasts. And they were the only payment they ever received is they got this the skin of the animals that were sacrificed that went to the different people that had opened up their house. And there's a lot of symbolism there, but we don't have time to go into that today. Verse 32, and they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owner thereof said unto them, why you loose, why are you stealing my ass, but why are you loosening him? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes on the way. And when he was come nigh, even nigh unto the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Praise you in heaven. Glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto them, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, If these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And as he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If you had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belongest unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children with thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now here he's being honored. They were even doing something that they no one ever did before, and that's they were singing the Hallel. And we all know what the Hallel. And as they were singing the Hallel, which was illegal from the standpoint of Jewish culture, it had to be sung only in the temple. And so yet here was this massive number of people praising him and acknowledging him he was the Messiah. Now, 4 days later, every one of those people, not just the Pharisees, but everyone, yelled, crucify him or we're silent. No. We're going to concentrate on what he did for those 4 days to cause that incredible thing to happen. And this also happens in us. Because if we don't understand what the kingdom of God is about, we'll always bring ourselves into the picture. And if you study very hard, you'll find out there's a loss of self-identity. That's why we have all these wondrous false theology of how they're going to see your little brother and your little sister and your little doggy and cat and everybody and go up and have conversations with Jesus. And it's totally different than that. But that's the invention of our mind. Anybody question any of this? Or anybody agree?
It's amazing that one day they're praising him, and then 4 days later they're ready to crucify him.
All right, now let's see the first thing he did to raise hell. Verse 45. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. That's a brief version of the story. You can look it up yourself later, but I mean, all of a sudden he called both those that were selling it and both that were buying the sacrifices. They called it a den. He called them part of a den of thieves. So that's the first thing that sort of broke this fantasy of who Christ was. All right, now let's go to math. Now, wait a minute. Yeah, let's go. Let me see.
It's interesting. You taught daily. How many days would that be?
4. It's for those 4 days. That's what we're going to look at now. For those 4 days in the temple, he's teaching this incredible mystery that no one understands.
I've been teaching how he was on the road to Emmaus. John himself.
Okay, and it came to pass, verse 20, we'll start in verse 1. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders, and they spake unto him, saying, Tell us, by what authority dost thou these things? By what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer thee, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Now remember, John was the superstar. There's no one in our culture that could ever be considered as great as John the Baptist. He was the first prophet that was acknowledged as a prophet in 400 years. He was acclaimed by just about everybody. And yet,
he baptized in the name of Jesus.
Hmm?
He baptized in Jesus' name, right?
Well, they've been baptized, yeah, but here's something that's kind of interesting. They've been baptizing for hundreds of years. They did it in the period between, in the days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But they baptized in the name of the Father and the Spirit. And so you'll see that if you check, if you read that. But when Jesus came and he was baptizing the Jews, he baptized them only in the name of Jesus, because they'd already been baptized in the name of the Father and the Spirit. So this is why there's all kinds of confusion, and there's this oneness T.D. Jakes belonged to this, I can't remember the name of the I can't even think. What do you call it? The sect of a church? The Lutherans are something?
Denominations.
He belongs to the denomination that baptizes in the name of Jesus only. And there's a whole lot of theology and other things behind that. But it's, anyway, I just thought that was interesting to me. Because you'll see, every time you read in all the different scriptures, sometimes it says in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Other times it says he just baptized in the name of Jesus. Well, that's the why of it. All right. So again, verse 3, and he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of man? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he shall say, why then believest you him not? But if we shall say of man, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence he was. And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Again, another level of this step of pushing everybody to the edge. Now the parable of the wicked husbandman. And verse 9. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and let it forth to husbandmen, and went out and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. And the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then he said, the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the harvest, or Lord of the vineyard, do unto them? They answered, he shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and they shall give the vineyard unto others. Well, anyway, this is different than the Matthew one, but so it's anyway. But he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon the stone shall be broken, but to whom soever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So this is the first. His first thing was he cast out the money changers and the people that were buying the animals, raised all kinds of hell. Now the Pharisees probably sent a group there to after that first thing happened, and now he pushes them over the cliff. And that's all I'm going to talk about this morning. That's all I can make. But it's going to get intenser and intenser and intenser until the end of the fourth day. I believe that's when he did the biggie. The biggie was they found out that for the first time in 1,500 years, the Passover Seder was always done by families. And now, there's nothing in our culture that can compare with it. But this time, for the first time in history, the pastor was with his disciples. There's no way we can understand fully how that angered the entire population, because the Passover ceremony with the family was the most beloved of all things that took place in the Jewish world. Still is. But so you can imagine, that was the final night that caused him to be crucified.
We can understand a little bit when Christmas or Thanksgiving traditions, when people don't celebrate it with their family.
Well, it's 100,000 times greater than that.
I understand that. You admit it.
But it is a type.
It's similar.
Okay, everybody have any response to any of this?
So far, he's mainly attacking the clergy, the leaders of the church, and the scribes.
Well, and the people that were buying sacrifices.
And what?
The people that were buying sacrifices.
Those too, yeah.
They were, the buyers were the people, and they just were praising him. The reason they did that is that it was much easier than to. And it had been going on for 100 years or more. Before that, you had to take the animals that you had raised. They were the only ones that were worthy of being of the sacrifice. And so the Jews set up all these rules about it. But it was a way for the priests and the high priests to make a bunch of money, because they charged an interest or a percentage. The priesthood got a percentage of the income from the sale of the sacrifices. Now the other thing, I mean, just think, they had, I mean, when they did this so faithfully, they had to actually raise the lamb that was slain.
So they were selling indulgences, basically, that idea.
Well, it wasn't that bad, but it was bad enough that they ignored the tradition of how incredible it was for the, especially the children, to see an animal that they had raised offered as a sacrifice.
They lose them.
All right. Anybody else?
Well, not that everything else isn't as it's acted on pretty deep, but the priest got a portion of the sacrifice anyway, so they're selling, you know, what they're going to get back is, you know, their meat. I mean, that's just how they live, was, you know, they got a piece of the sacrifices, right?
You talked about the priests?
Yeah,
well, sometimes they did.
Okay, well, not all the sacrifices, but a lot of them, they get a piece of it. That really is, I mean, that's basically saying, I'm going to tax you for the food that you're going to give me to eat. And that just really makes it all very monetary.
Yeah, in this case, what Ole's saying is these were the Passover lambs that were being sold, right?
Yeah,
I'm not saying it. I'm just saying it just adds that much more onto it. I mean, it's just, yeah. it's wrong on so many levels.
Well, if I started in that, I'd never be able to quit it. What time do we have to leave?
10:02.
I gotta go. This is my third one. I'm just hoping it energizes me like the last two did. All right, take it, big guy.